What seek ye?
And so, dearly beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayers. And the Apostle Paul so beautifully expressed these words from his heart in Romans 7, verses 1 to 9. And if I could add my own comment to the words of Paul, that by the grace of God, I can be with you here today. Dear brethren, to have this wonderful privilege of welcoming you to this convention. This reunion of those of like precious faith, members of the body of Christ. And I want to express this from my own heart, dear brethren, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and knowledge. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 5. Now, brethren, we have chosen that topic, as Brother Brian mentioned, what seek ye? And I'm sure that you realize that this theme text comes from John 1, verse 38. John 1, 38. And Jesus says these very words to his disciples. Again, what seek ye? The Diaglot renders it, what seek you, or what do you seek? And we realize that these words were spoken by our Lord Jesus shortly after he was baptized of John, having been tempted in the wilderness, and going through those hard experiences, but again, faithfully leaning and trusting on the Heavenly Father, selecting then his disciples, the 12, after the words were spoken by John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And then in this case, our Lord was first to speak when he was approached by some. And he was really illustrating his own words respecting those drawn of the Father to him. "He that cometh unto me, I will in no way cast out, no wise cast them out." Brethren, as we ask the question that was posed by our Lord to those disciples, "What seek you," or "What seek ye?" I want to ask another question. Why are you here today at this convention? Many people came to this area of the country in search of wealth or prosperity. They came in search of coal, an iron ore, necessary to make steel. This area was one of the largest coal-producing areas in the world. The hillsides that surround the place where we are at today, in years past, would have been bustling with activity. People coming and going to work, leaving the mines, a new shift coming in. Shafts were driven deep into the earth in search of that prized black gold, coal, which helped, of course, to fuel the Industrial Revolution of this country. My own grandparents came here, on both sides of my family, immigrating from Europe in search of a better life. And they established that life, and they worked hard, and they raised their families. But you know, the most important thing that they found does not lie in the remnants that you see if you went into the forest and walked around today. The tailings that are left from those mines that were here. The most important thing that they found was the Word of God, His truth, and they made it their own. And I'm so thankful for that. Of course, I would not be here today if it weren't for those dear ones that walked that way before, who took risks to search for things of God. And brethren, Dear ones, you have also come here in search of something, and for a most important reason. You have come here to search for an understanding of those deep things of God. And you have been given the tools to not only search them out, but to use them in service to the Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus, in the cause of truth and righteousness. You have been given and provided justification and sanctification, the full setting apart. You have been given the Holy Spirit of understanding that you, as we said, can comprehend the breadth, the length, the height, the depths of God, the deep things of God, the deep truths of God, and make them your own. Remember the words, "'Tis of mine, I deeper too. Than can mortal ever go. Search we may for many years, still some new rich gem appears." If you did not have that attitude of heart and mind, you would not have traveled here today to this convention. You have come here to search and find more of God's holy word. So, brethren, let's look a little further at this most important question asked by the Lord to his disciples. And we should each one view it as if it was asked directly to each of us individually. And one that is really a good question for us to ask ourselves, to use self-examination. It is so important. We know that we're told, let a man examine himself. The same question will be asked to the world of mankind when they are asked, do you know God? Do you know the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus? And also, as we witness, to anyone who has an interest in the present truth. So, brethren, you realize that those of the household of faith can answer this question just as Jesus' disciples did. We seek and have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, John 1:45. We would say that he is the true and living Son of God, of his true Father, full of grace and truth. Also, any study of this verse, what seek ye? What seek you? Has to begin with consideration concerning the importance of having our minds focused on things that we need to be focused upon, especially now, during this convention, at this moment, during this week, during each day. I think that they can be found in the words, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press on to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be made perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Philippians 3, verses 13 to 15. He's going to reveal these things unto you, the things that are not going along with his plans and purposes, for the reason he called you, and he's dealing with you. Because you're desiring to seek the Lord. And if you're seeking the Lord, you're truly striving to seek after righteousness and fellowship with the Lord and with the Father and fellowship with the members of the body of Christ. Remembering, as it says in 1 John 4:19, God loved you first. When you were without strength, when there was no arm to save. And so from these words we see that he has a special love for the church. He loves you. Many times during this year, or maybe even today, he's wrapped his loving arms upon you. And he provides you the means for being here today. He's provided those consecrated footstep followers during this gospel age. He sets your feet upon that solid rock, Christ and the apostles. And he gave you important scriptures to make your own. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his son as a propitiation for our sins. And if you be Christ, you're Abraham's seeds and heir, Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:29. We realize that Paul is writing to the true believers, those who have made the truth their own, those who have searched and have found what they were looking for, the greatest gift of all, through his Son, this word of truth. Those who have put on Christ by immersion into his death through consecration, begetting the Holy Spirit. You, brother, have put on the spirit or disposition of the Master, and you then desire to seek him, to be more and more conformed to his image, to his likeness. At the same time, we realize that the selection of the church is along the lines of severe testing. Severe testing. It has to be so. If you say you have love, it's going to be put to the test. If you say you have faith, it's going to be put to the test. If you say, Lord, use me in his service, in your service, he's going to find ways for you to be used in his service. But you have to then go about doing those things. Be a workman, strong. Again, the people who forged our nation, who came to this area, they were strong of character. They were strong of body. They were strong of mind. They were strong of faith. We have to be also that type of workman. Because we realize that if you do these things, to be conformed to the image of the Son, that you might be the firstborn among many brethren, realizing to them he also called, and to whom he called, them he justified, and them he justified, he would then glorify. Romans 8:28-29. And so for this reason, for these wonderful assurances that we have, brethren, from the Father, for this reason you can be troubled and not distressed, perplexed but not in despair, as our theme from this convention points out to us. And I know we're looking forward to hearing those comments from the dear brethren who present that service. We're not despaired. We're built up. And to then reach this condition of glory requires that we brought into full accord with the Father. Full accord with the Father. Because he gave his only begotten Son, he's allowed us these opportunities for service and to study and to strive to learn. We have those precious promises of God. And by this providential care of the Lord, we meet here today, brethren, in the safety of the arms of the Lord. While the world is going through difficult times and hardships, we know of the recent earthquakes and floodwaters, even today, devastating homes and lives. The devastating storms that ravaged our country, the violence of wars and rebellion and countries failing that has touched all parts of our planet. And of course, we have to be aware of the signs of the times in which we're living. And listen to them. They're going to be brought out in this convention. But again, we're not troubled or perplexed. We're not fearful. But we have a greater respect. We have a greater reverence for the Heavenly Father. Because we have been given a knowledge and insight into the Heavenly Father's plans through His Holy Word. And then to understand these plans and purpose of the Heavenly Father, as has been revealed through that power and influence, once again, of the Holy Spirit, the new mind that has to grow strong and endure steadfast unto the end. The scriptures teach us that there will be one day, a time, when the earth will be restored and brought to perfection. There won't be any more signs of sickness or sorrow or hatred or fear or envy. For these things and all other things and influences of sin will be known as the former things that are passed away. And all the world of mankind will have that opportunity to be taught of God. They'll have the opportunity for the fulfillment of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men." And in our time this week, we can have peace and goodwill to one another, uplifting one another, trusting in one another, loving one another. It'll lead to that time if we fulfill our call, knowing that the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform these things. You have these hopes shown to you now. For brethren, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. You know the love, personally, you know the love of God. You know His guidance that comes only from Him through His Son. And they are revealed to you because you have an attitude, a humbleness, a teachableness, a listening ear that comes from that contrite heart, that sincere sorrow for sin, realizing that without God you can do nothing, but with Him you can be a more than overcomer. You can learn of His ways. You can continue to do these things to please Him. And at that same time, you can go down on your knees and use that wonderful privilege of prayer, approaching in that throne of heavenly grace, that you are thankful that He has given you this spirit of understanding. And again, the opportunity which you grasp on so firmly to know and do His will and have it worked out in your lives, to be submissive. Because we realize that during His first advent, a preliminary work was being done. He canceled the death penalty. He made it possible for you to know Him, to have an opportunity for life. He paid that ransom price and He took over this. It's a purchased possession, a prized possession that He's offered you. A life in heaven. Immortality. We know that the Father has desire to call out a people for His name. This little flock called out of the world to be footstep followers, the called ones according to His purpose. And eventually then to share in that first resurrection, the bride class once again going on to glory and honor and immortality. Isn't that what you're seeking? Isn't that why you're here? That if you suffer with Him, you shall also reign with Him in His kingdom. So, brethren, as we go on from this day forward and on the remainder of this year, or however many days the Lord permit us to go on in this narrow way, we should be of that proper disposition that we desire with our whole heart to serve Him just as we began our Christian walk or this year or this morning. That He has given to us as a child of God. And again, especially during this day, during this convention, it's a proper time for reflection, to remember God's dealings and leadings with us, that we should ever be thankful for His providential care once again over all our matters of life. The small things, the day-to-day experiences, and then the great things. And our blessings come from His rich storehouse, in which, what does He hold in that storehouse? His perfect law, His perfect desire, His perfect will, His finest of the wheat that He's going to provide for you this week to take in and revitalize and go on in a way pleasing to Him. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds for us, but we do know that we'll be in that providential care, because we know that faith can firmly trust Him, come what may. Now, brethren, I know it was even mentioned in the prayer that we had this morning. As we look around about this place, we see that there are people, there are brethren, there are faces that are missing. We realize, though, that the memory of those dear ones is strong. Those that are, for health reasons, could not even attend today, or they had that desire to be here because they sent their love. They've called you, they've written you, they've emailed. I wish I could be there. You have this privilege, so what I'm saying to you is, take advantage of it. Use it. Enjoy it. Because our brethren throughout this world are going through difficult trials and experiences. Some have, as we said, gone on and entered into the joys of the Lord in their time of trials and experiences and hardships. Mixed in with joys has ended. We're saddened by their loss, but we rejoice that, again, they have left something with us. They had an opportunity to plant seeds of hope and encouragement to us, to uplift us, and they did that. And if faithful, they've entered into, again, the heavenlies, to immortality. They're called by a new name. They've seen the Master face to face. One day you'll have that blessed privilege if you are faithful. So it's our desire, as we go on in this narrow way, each day, each step should reflect a renewed effort, thinking about what are you seeking? What are you looking for in your lives? Certainly, one of those has to be that we're putting God first in our life. We're putting God first. And the wonderful words, "As for me to live, is to live for Christ Jesus." It can kind of serve as a motto, as a theme, and an important way. The pastor even brought those out in several places in the reprints when he talked about sending out motto cards or scriptures that you carry. I know many brethren carry scriptures that are dear to them in their Bibles or in their wallet or in their purse or in their coat pocket. And I just wanted to mention a couple of them because, again, I'm going to point to something as I go on that I think is very important. One of the first ones that he mentioned was, there's a new commandment that the Master gave to those who would be of His disciples, who would consecrate their lives, even with His, unto death. Love one another as I have loved you. And it leads even unto self-sacrifice, John 15:12. The second might be termed an apostolic commentary on that scripture. Because John wrote to his fellow Christians, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 3:16. You follow that wonderful example of your Lord, your Redeemer, your glorified head. In fact, just to mention around this area, we realized that around 100 miles, I guess, from here was the Bible House, where the pastor worked, worshiped, taught, spread the gospel message. Place is long gone, but the words that he wrote, they have endured. We study them weekly. We mention them in our conversations with each other. You know, in that Bible house, was I the privilege of going in? The Pittsburgh Ecclesia used to meet there. Many times we were in that building. They would have sayings or scriptures all around the building, in their workplace, in the place of worship, again, for them to look upon each day. And let's just mention a few of them. Let him that would be greatest among you be servant of all. Doesn't that speak really volumes about the attitude of those spreading the gospel message? You're God's servant. You want to be used in his service. For one is your master, even Christ. The other one is, all ye are brethren. And God has set the various members of the body as it has pleased him. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Blessed are the pure in heart, they that hunger, they that thirst after righteousness. Let nothing be done with strife or vain glory. For there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The love of God constraineth us. We should live our lives unto him who loved us first and died for us. So as we think upon these words, upon brotherly love, kindness, we are assured that the final test of our character is referred to in that verse, laying down your life for your brethren. Our Lord spoke it. Greater love hath no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do what I ask of you. And you willingly say, yes, I will do that. These words were called beautiful by the pastor. Do we see why these words are so beautiful? Because they show us that man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by some words that proceed out of the mouth of God. No, it's every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, if we do that, we're then compelled to have this scripture rule our hearts and minds. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. So, brethren, we're not asking you to write these scriptures on the walls of your home or on, we have the cross and crown. That's a wonderful thing to think about. What I think the Father wants us to do is to write those, and you know the answer, I'm sure, to this, on the fleshly tables of your heart. Because if you do that, it is always with you. These things are always with you. The heart is the center of your affections. It guides your thoughts and words because you're motivated by the love of God that's dwelling there. And how could anything else dwell there but the love of God if you have your eyes of understanding open? We are then made free to love God, to believe his word, to trust in him. And to understand then and give thanks every day for the way that our Lord was provided to taste death for every man. And again, we want to daily submit ourselves to Christ. And that if we do that, we're more and more released from that bondage of sin. We can fill up our cup with the truth, the precious gems, the fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit. And we can, as it says in Revelation 22:17, whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. Our Lord invites us, brethren, to be his partner, to drink of that water of truth, to be yoke fellows with him and one another, to learn the lessons that will help us to grow and develop again in that way pleasing to him. We must be teachable as he was, for even in perfection there were things to be learned. That's why he went about, he grew and developed, and said, he grew in the eyes and stature of mankind and God. He was daily his Father's delight. It pleased the Lord, when the Heavenly Father, when he saw his Son grow. those in those things. It pleases the Heavenly Father when He sees each of you grow and develop and make progress and go on. Well, brethren, we have a commission, really, during this convention. We have commission to listen to the lessons presented, to study, to comprehend the lessons, to make them our own, to apply them to our daily lives. That were prepared by the brethren who will serve during this convention. And by the Lord's providence and grace, there will be something at this convention, and many more things possibly, for you personally to take with you when you leave this beautiful place. He will give you something to partake of, some special blessing during this convention. Many of us have commented in testimonies or in private discussion that words spoken during a discourse were just for me. We'll have the privilege of hearing a testimony, to sharing the experiences of our brethren, those who are really may not usually have this opportunity to meet with. We'll be able to meet with them, discuss the word of truth, share viewpoints, harmonize the scriptures. And certainly through it all, we will be reminded of, blessed be that tie that binds our hearts in perfect love. In perfect love. One of the writings of the pastor, again, many, many are so precious to us, but one that applies here today is, we are like the coals of the fire. You have warmth of God's love with you as you were at your homes, but you know this writing. When you came together, this love, this warmth, it fanned into a burning flame. And you take it, it's fueled by the truth, by the word of God, by the fellowship with the brethren, so that when you leave here, having been renewed, you're able to take that love, the power of the Holy Spirit, and God's grace with you as you go about your experiences when this convention will also be in the past. Because remember the words, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 3, 3. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as we are manifested and declared to be an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, again, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. You have the Spirit of the living God written within your new mind. It then compels you, brethren, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And do you do that? You have to do it. Nothing short is pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Because let us remember, brethren, once again, that this was given to us as a commandment, not merely a suggestion. 1 John 5, 2-5. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that when we keep His commandments, he that overcometh the world is he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So let me then speak words of comfort, joy to the world, for that kingdom of peace will surely come and be established and will show all the wonders of God's love and bring blessings to all. So, brethren, we are commissioned by the Father as we go about our daily lives and travel around through this campus and meet the workers and the people behind the scenes and so forth, that we want to reflect that character of God in our conduct, in our words, in our actions, however you want to term it. Because it's through God's grace that we can plant then seeds of hope and encouragement to those of whom most need them, of course, first to the household of faith. We can do that. I know there's a card table that will be in the back. You can write hope and encouragement to those brethren that you miss them. And then to those who mourn, those who need something, something special. We rest on the beautiful prophecies and scriptures that give comfort to those in the world also. All of us, brethren, don't have the same opportunities for witnessing. But we do have the same opportunity for making our calling and election sure. Again, He brought you to this place today for a reason. He brought me here because there's something I need. There's a lot of things I need to develop in my character. But I'm just going to get that, those special gems of truth, and I want to apply them. I want to develop. I want to be more loving and kind. So, brethren, by our actions and our words, we can really and must convey the good news of the kingdom. Because all of the footstep followers of the Lord are commissioned to preach. And all service then, in whatever capacity, is pleasing to the Father. Because it would be rendered unto the Lord with a sincere desire and effort to please Him. For brethren, we are all one body. And that body rightly fits together for each joint that supplieth. We will hear again many prayers offered during this convention. The Father desires us to pray, to open up our hearts to Him. And our prayers go up to God, as we know, it's brought out of Revelation 5:8, as golden vials of odors or incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So in this meeting place, as we go about our fellowship, they go up as odors to God, pleasing to Him. He takes them in, and He blesses us for that effort. He blesses us because we have a joy in our hearts of running for that prize of a high calling in Christ Jesus. It's done unto the meek, to those willing and able to hear, for they see present truth through the Holy Spirit of understanding. For as it says in Psalm 25:9, the meek shall He guide in judgment. The meek shall He teach His way. It's also appropriate that we should be sure that we're actively serving this cause of truth and righteousness. And take heed to the Master's words, "What seek ye?" Again, as though they were written or asked just to us individually. We know what the world is seeking. Fame, ease, honor. The worldly mind equates these with being right with God. Worldly prosperity, but you vow to give up those things. You're laying up treasures in heaven. You came here to mind those things and to apply those things and lay up the gold and silver and precious gems. And we can be sure that, brethren, the Lord is with us at this convention today, and He will be here this week. Now, we've often sung a hymn, members of the choir, which I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. So please bear with me. It's emotional for me. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I hear the sounds of happiness. I see love upon this face. Surely the Spirit of the Lord dwells in this place. You know, brethren, also, as I found out last night, we did not come here to get physical rest. We didn't. We perhaps will lose some hours of sleep taking advantage of the extra opportunity for fellowship during this week. But we will be able to obtain spiritual refreshing by meeting with our brethren and discussing things and embracing them in love. And it's sincere love. It's a sincere devotion of heart Because each one here is actively seeking the Heavenly Father at great cost. So as followers of the Lord, we desire not to labor for the meat that would perish, but for that which endureth unto eternal life. John 6:27. That's also made possible for, we know that the people of God already have a peace. You came here with a peace. But that peace is going to be exemplified, strengthened, deepened. And you're going to have a rest of mind through the knowledge of His plan and character. It involves that full assurance that Jesus paid it all. And if you do these things, if you endure steadfast to the end, you will have been thoroughly prepared to enter in that heavenly rest as joint heirs with Christ Jesus. He has invited you to be obedient. He has invited you and has required of you that you should seek again after the glory and the honor and the immortality. Romans 2:7. Again, associated with these words come words spoken by our Lord in Matthew 6:33, that we should seek chiefly the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And so if we're doing that, each day our attitude should be as the type expressed in the words taken from Psalm 116, verses 12 to 14. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? Remembering that as the cloud hung over the tabernacle, we have protection from the Heavenly Father. If we want to dwell under the shadow of His wing, in this protection, knowing that the very hairs of your head are numbered. He'll permit experiences in your life, but none too great that you cannot bear them. So our preparation now is that what are you seeking? It's the present mission of the church. It is for the perfecting of the saints, for the future work of service, bringing blessings to all the families of the earth, developing the qualities of character as brought out in Galatians 5:22-23, dear brethren. Realizing that this elect church, when completed, perfected, will be glorified at the end of this narrow way. Matthew 7:14. So we have, brethren, assurance that every trial that we have, every experience, whether it be joyous or sorrowful or heavy or light, we see the hand and should see the hand of the Heavenly Father in it. And it would make us possible to say, even as David said in Psalm 91:2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Again, Psalm 91:2. So, brethren, what are you seeking? You seek to be not conformed to this world, even though I am not of this world. Our Lord said, you are chosen out of the world, John 15:16. So you're seeking Him. You're seeking that as an anointed member of the body of Christ to preach the gospel. You must be loyal to Him. Loyal to your call, and develop the patience, the meekness, the long-suffering, the brotherly kindness, and reaching that mark of perfect love. So, brethren, seek ye the Lord and His truth. And those who find Him have fellowship with Him and become His true disciples, and eventually will be joint heirs with Him in the heavenly kingdom, having gone on to glory and honor and immortality, and having, through His wonderful love, make these words possible. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.